just wanna have some fun, girl. Let's make it a night. Better yet, forever. Let's play in my fun world. Where the colors shine bright. When we're together, shawty, be easy. Why do you tease me? You do it so effortless. Hope you're prepared for this, right? T minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Ensemble keeps it 100, feeling like Rondo, smooth assist. Ooh, I'm happy that you exist. How could I move if you resist? I'll be right here on the dance floor greeting you with a kiss. Yes.
You're my little piece of heaven. That's what you are to me.
That's what you are to me.
That's what you are. No matter the weather, you shine bright for all to see.
So bright for all to see.
The peace of heaven with me. When I'm on my grind and I'm working my tail off, wishing we could sail off, yeah. If the distant lands where we could just relax,
just relax.
Cause you always hold me down and got my back.
You're my little piece of heaven.
That's what you are to me.
That's what you are
to me.
That's what you are.
No matter the weather, you shine bright for all to see.
Peace
of heaven with me. You know your wealth and your worth. So you
Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We have some excellent guests tonight and some terrific new music. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride on today's Entrepreneurs.
How's it going out there, folks?
It's Friday, so things are looking up.
End of the week. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
I'm J.R. Williams. How you doing out there, everybody?
Give us a call. Let us know how your week went. Did you close any sales? 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471.
So what's going on tonight with you, Michael?
No, I'm just taking it easy, man. It's going to be a good show. We have some great guests. Another interesting day in the today's entrepreneur's experience.
I was taking a look at something in the news a little earlier. But actually, I think because we've been running a little bit late, we're going to probably just get into our first guest now that I think about it, because I think she's been on hold for a while.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've had some technical difficulties. We're training new engineers. Just bear with us. The show will go on and it will be great. Just bear with us. Now, our next guest is Holly Kawakami. And she's from the Global Intercultural Leadership Coach Company. Her website is goglobalcoaching.com. Holly, welcome to the show.
Oh, how are you? Good to be with you.
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you for waiting.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we could.
Yes, we hear you fine.
Thank you for your patience and bearing with us. We appreciate that.
Yes.
So Holly, tell our listeners, give us a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you. Well, it's good to be with you today and to be with the audience. I'm an American by birth and growing up in the Midwest, but after that, for about 30 years, I lived outside the U.S. And I lived in Canada for the decade of the 70s, and then the 80s and 90s, lived in Japan and traveled a great deal in Asia. And my background combined business with intercultural communication. So I was doing a lot of training, especially for Japanese business people to manage outside of Japan. And then also for some Americans coming to Japan. And also then, since I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, about a decade ago, I've been going back and forth to Japan and also doing a lot of consulting for hotels, multinational corporations, mostly based in Japan.
Okay. I would imagine that you speak Japanese.
Yes, I do.
Yes, okay.
I really like speaking Japanese.
It's a nice language. I would imagine having all those business interactions in Japan, you have to be somewhat fluent.
Yes, and that's one of the tricks to really talk about language. You know, we can't be fluent in every language. We're lucky if we can be fluent in one more. So if we want to do international business, of course, English is really the language. So America is fortunate because it is English. However, there's all kinds of English and variations of it, and also all kinds of levels of being able to communicate in English. So all entrepreneurs venturing outside the U.S. to various countries need to keep that in mind. And sometimes they latch on to someone whose English seems to be really good, and that can be helpful. But they also have to know more about how that person fits in to the other company as far as hierarchy, age, experience, skills. They may be great in English, but maybe they're not very skilled in other areas. Maybe they're too young to be in the decision-making level. And from the American entrepreneur's point of view, it's really good to slow down and take things step by step. And in communication, correspondence with people outside the U.S., if it's by email, for example, go over your email at least a couple of times to get it as clear as possible. Absolutely. Even then, there are things that are unexpected sometimes. Or if you're speaking by Skype, for example, or face-to-face occasionally, sound your English. Don't use a lot of idiomatic expressions. Keep those out of your conversation. Simplify, not by talking down, but by being as clear as possible. And Absolutely. Really listen. That's the big other side of it.
Absolutely. Now, Holly, as a global intercultural leadership coach, what are some of the services that you offer?
Well, one is individual coaching to executives, managers, upper management. These people have a great deal of business experience and are very good at what they do. But as soon as we get into a new environment, like a new culture, a new country, even a new city within a country, we are confronted with a lot of unknown, a lot of things that may be confusing, puzzling. And as I told you, you know, I know quite a bit about Japan. I know quite a bit about some other Asian countries. But nobody can know everything about every place. However, there are certain things that come up that are quite common across culture. So, for example, one dimension to think about would be the level of formality. There's always some kind of level of formality, whether it's more formal or less formal. And Americans are considered to be quite informal. Although you could find a little more formal company in the United States as well. So if you're going into a new environment, meeting new people in a new place, it's good to do your homework yourself, get some advice, try to find out as much as you can about some of these dimensions. And one of them would be the level of formality. You know, Americans use first names like right away, and we use it in email. And I think we've become more and more informal over the past years. But there are still places that like to use the family name and are much more formal about people's titles, about forms of address, about rituals of getting to know one another. So
it's important
to consider that is a good idea.
I have to agree. You know, think about that sometimes when you travel abroad and, you know, deal with different cultures, like you said. And it's, you know, just little gestures sometimes can, you know, blow a business deal. Let me ask you, Holly, being that we have a lot of people that deal with, you know, either have international dealings or would like to, can you give us a couple of examples of some pitfalls that you've encountered or come across?
Yes, one of them, let's talk about contracts. As soon as you want to set up some kind of business, then you're going to work towards getting a contract. But keep in mind that depending on the culture that you're dealing with, even when you have hashed out a contract, it seems pretty clear to you and you've signed it, there still could be things in there or just the general idea of a contract that's rather different. Maybe the level of flexibility, even though things are written out quite carefully, the other side may still assume that there's room for flexibility. For example, in something that's late or in some promise that's been made in the contract or roles that are going to be played or to blame something that happens, for example, a strike or an act of God or something like that.
Translation on that?
Different people's interpretations of a contract can be different and lead to concerns and maybe conflict. And this maybe only comes up later, maybe even after a couple of years, but it does come up sometimes.
Yeah. Can one of those reasons, I was just wondering, be perhaps the translation, if you know, the other party wants the contract to be in their own language, let's say?
Yes, that could be a good idea. And if it's a really thorough job, it will perhaps start in English, be also written perhaps then in, let's say, Japanese, mm-hmm. and then retranslated back to English. That would be the most thorough job you could do. And when it's retranslated back by somebody else, then you might be able to see some points that have come back unclear or a little different from what you expected.
Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Holly Kawakami. She's the Global Intercultural Leadership Coach. And this broadcast is brought to you by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. Now, Holly, some of those concerns and encounters that you've mentioned, could you come across those same things in the U.S., seeing that there's a lot of people here, a lot of different ethnicities here as well?
Yes, that's right. And I just wanted to say that this is the first time we've spoken. We've communicated by email, and you pronounced my last name exactly right. Thank you. Yes, as everyone knows, there's a tremendous amount of domestic diversity, and most people nowadays are encountering people from lots of different backgrounds in their workplace, in their neighborhoods, and so it's important if you're going to be doing business, manufacturing, selling, whatever you're doing within the United States without even going to another country, to also consider that your clients or your customers or your employees might be from a lot of different backgrounds. And in that case as well, to consider those interpersonal relationship side. You know, I'm not really talking today about legal side or technical side. I think people are pretty well able to find experts who can help them with those things. What I'm really focusing on is the interpersonal side. And to, again, do one's homework and keep adding to one's knowledge and be curious and courteous about finding out more and more. People are usually happy to explain things if they're approached in the right way. That goes for people right here in the U.S. as well as people in other countries.
Okay. Can you talk to us a little about using people's strengths for a successful business?
Yeah. So if I'm coaching an executive or a manager or a small group of managers, one of the first things we want to do is do some self-assessments that are available very readily, and it doesn't take long to take them and get the results. And people can find out in plain language what their strengths are.
Okay.
You know, in school and in business, we often focus a lot on people's weaknesses and say, you know, you need to work on such and such. And probably the individual would agree, too.
Yeah.
But in coaching, we really like to focus on people's strengths, what people are good at.
Okay.
And however, sometimes it's hard for us to articulate what they're really good at.
That's good at.
Because no one has focused on it before. We're not sure what to call something. And also, when people are really good at something, like say they're very personable and they just are able to start up a relationship with someone in a very easygoing way, in a very respectful way. And what do you call that? Well, you could call it, you know, good interpersonal skills, but maybe there's, you know, better wording for that and a better explanation. If it seems really easy, and it's always been easy for someone, they may discount it and say, you know, well, these are my weaknesses, my three main weaknesses. My bosses have always been telling me I need to work on those.
Yep.
Get somebody else to work on those. An entrepreneur, as all entrepreneurs know, may try to do everything, but you really can't do everything. And, of course, other people have written on this quite a bit.
Exactly.
So the idea is to find out what your own strengths are, really, really capitalize on those strengths, and then find other people to make a good team for you to fill in the other gaps. Because, anyway, one person can't do everything.
Now, Holly, you seem to have a great grasp of intercultural business. How can business people get in touch with you? Do you consult by phone, in person, via Skype? What's your contact information?
Yes, well, at the very beginning of the program, you mentioned the website. It's always a work in progress, but www.goglobalcoaching.com. And I'm happy to consult by Skype, like we're talking by Skype today. Works well. I'm also happy to consult by phone if it's within the United States. Skype is great for anywhere in the world. And as I mentioned, it's good to have, you know, other people on your team. So in addition to legal help, accounting help, other parts of business, I really suggest that entrepreneurs are able to contact someone who has experience in international business and knows about the various dimensions of culture that can make a big difference. And I'd be happy to be in touch with anyone.
Of course, at some point it might be
a good idea to meet in person. But first, I think by phone, by Skype, by email works well.
Definitely, you know. You know, we want to thank you for coming on to the show to share with our listeners tonight. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Excellent information.
And you had some great information, and we want to wish you all the best.
Thank you
very much. And if we ever do it again, I'd love to hear some questions from your audience. That would be very interesting. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem. You have a good night.
Good night.
Once again, listeners, call in at 888-429-5471. Let's play a couple songs and let's get back on the B-side.
Warning, 10,000 writers to become published authors. If your dream is to be an author, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman explains, will save you hours of research, thousands of dollars, and mountains of frustration. Avoid the top 5 mistakes made by new authors. Get industry secrets publishers don't want you to know. This expert problem solver will navigate you through the mysterious labyrinth to make publishing quick, easy, and affordable. ValerieJColeman.com and PenOfTheWriter.com.
Before you, it was just me and my puppy and
find my music, and sometimes I get so lonely. I met you at the live jazz spot where it's hot. But everybody knows the drink's strong. Say the drink's strong, yeah. Jose Cuervo. The brass band played while we made our bodies rock. And then we walked and talked on the riverfront all night long. It's on New Orleans like Bourbon Street. My cafe du vin always so sweet. And you're my fleur de lis, I'm your black and orange. Cause girl, you know I'm feeling you in your Crescent City. So, 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 it never gets so, no, 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 no.
Yeah, so I'm in the French Quarters, man. Yeah. And they had this little light skin thing. She was bad. Like, I know she wasn't from America. She was at the French Market, I'm walking by. Her back was to me, her hair really caught my eye. You know that wavy jet black long and all hers. She's an aphrodisiac, not oysters, with her fleur de lis dress on. First thing you ask any woman's a question. How you doing, baby, or something just like it. You look kinda cool and I'm looking for a sidekick to go to the Saints game. Chill on the lake, hit the quarters and get drinks. Baby face, but a body like she 26. We took a long walk, picked up some crawfish. She work at Target, got her own apartment. Telling me about her life, I wanna be a part of it. Girl, let's get inside before we get cold.
It's on New Orleans like Bourbon Street. My cafe du vin always so sweet. And you're my fleur de lis, I'm your black and orange. Cause girl, you know I'm feeling you in your Crescent City. So, 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 so,
yeah, you grooving with the sounds of Suave. Yeah, Focus. And we just two Crescent City boys who love the Crescent City soul, you know what I'm saying? And I love my city, so when I can pick it in my city, that's a big thing. Listen. You remind me of everything in life. That's right, you dig deep like a tiger bite. All the niggas city council fight, cause you deserve more. Then these niggas willing to give you, they immature. Self-absorbed and willing to explore you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. I just people from a distance, sideline you. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Your Crescent City soul, it never gets old. I know, no, 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 no.
Warning, 10,000 writers to become published authors. If your dream is to be an author, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman explains, will save you hours of research, thousands of dollars, and mountains of frustration. Avoid the top 5 mistakes made by new authors. Get industry secrets publishers don't want you to know. This expert problem solver will navigate you through the mysterious labyrinth to make publishing quick, easy, and affordable. ValerieJColeman.com and penofthewriter.com.
Money again. What college do I need to send her? Tech a Yale, Tech a Yale. You got me missing full sail. Into a dinner. The means I want to bend. And overseas is where I want to tender. FedEx, a list, but don't sign it with my heart. I know you used to be a sport, but I can change more to oil. And I ain't talking about the gold cards. So then let me pop that trunk and let me put my laser gun in the back. And let it beat against the sack. Cause I don't know how to act when it comes to that. So I'ma let Elion bring the hook back.
Girl, you got this thing about you. We've been dancing on the floor all night. Do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby? Let's get out of here. Girl, you got this thing about you. You like to wear your jeans real tight.
That's right.
You sexy and I wanna rock you.
Yeah.
You're stressed.
Yeah. She's like a stallion at Derby. No other girls walk to her beat. She's thick plus her plate's a perky. Damn, baby girl.
Come with me.
To a world unknown. Enigma. I'm on her like lumberjack timber. Atmosphere cloudy, snow cap December. And I can't seem to get her up
off her knees. She's aggressive. And I like her aggression. And she likes the progression to the sky. We're so high, so high, so high.
Must not know, I'm really spaced out, constantly up in the cosmos, and she make my head spin, cyclone, I think I need to get a grip, python, way out of control, we both wildin', fresh air traffic control to both islands, lost in each other, lose all sense of timing, as long as she's smiling, hey.
Girl, you got this thing about you, we've been dancing on the floor all night, do you feel the way I'm feeling, baby, let's get out of here. This thing about you, you like to wear your jeans real tight. You sexy and I wanna rock you. You stress me.
Welcome back to the Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, Michael Calloway.
And I'm J.R. Williams.
How's it going out there, folks? Call in 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. Once again, today's broadcast is sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk.
Spell that out one time for the folks.
Okay.
Surfolic. Surfolic.co.uk.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice way to end off the week. Get some good information from that international business consultant. Holly has some very good points for, you know, when you're involved in international business. I think that sometimes that's a spectrum of business that's overlooked when people, you know, begin to even make those type of endeavors and decisions to go abroad, or, you know, whether they're starting internationally or they're pushing over from the U.S. you know what I mean, to across seas. But at any rate,
I want to send a special shout out to one of our previous guests, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman. She sent us a copy of her book, The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box. Check that out on amazon.com. The Forbidden Secrets of the Goodie Box by Valerie J. Lewis Coleman and Christopher Reed.
Thank you, Valerie.
Yeah, we're going to read this. We're going to review this on air. Maybe this will be the first book of the book club.
I think so. I mean, you know, she was really the first one to get us her material. So we're going to do her some justice by making sure that we read that. you know, I'm in the midst right now. I got a couple books on the Kindle right now. But we also have the
An audio book that was sent to us by Adele Park, another former guest. When Audio and Polygamy Collide, Jitters, a Quirky Little Audio Book by Adele Park. You can find this at www.jittersaudiobook.com, www.jittersaudiobook.com.
Excellent. Radio and Polygamy Collide. It's interesting.
If you'd like a copy, a free copy of the audiobook, call in 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Or contact us via Skype, BBS Radio 2, via Skype, BBS Radio 2.
That's it.
So, yeah, we've got some great guests coming up. Got some more good music. This is today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. It's Friday, end of the week. Hope everybody had a good week, starting the weekend off right.
Hope everybody was able to put to use some of those guests that we had earlier this week. We have so many excellent guests, you know, more than we have even planned on, just to let you guys know. I mean, initially, you know, we thought we might be able to have maybe, you know, 2-3 at best, but we've been blessed, and we actually have been able to have a few extra guests on. So if you know, we would love to hear some testimonies or just some feedback as well. You know, if you have contacted anybody and or you know, just have been able to make anything happen due to some of the guests or the information that's been provided to you, we would love that information and feedback.
And once again, this show is a platform for the business world through media. Through radio media, and we're like the Facebook of internet radio for business people. Yeah. This is your internet radio networking community. That additional piece to your team that you need, that vital piece, you can find them here on the Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show.
It's diverse. We try to keep it diverse. And, I mean, we've been getting good feedback.
We've had some political talk last Wednesday. Two days ago, Wednesday, we had some political talk. Well, maybe we'll get a little bit more tonight. I mean, just switching up the flavor of things.
Oh, yeah, we're doing a lot of, we were talking about the climate.
And the oil, and the gas prices in Iran. And
yes, that's right. Yeah. It's funny how 2 days seems a little longer than it was, but you're right. But he had good information as well.
Yes, he had great information. Malcolm Out Loud, a news commentator, as seen on CNN and as seen on Fox Radio, Fox News rather.
Malcolm Out Loud.
Once again, today's broadcast is sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. You spell Surfolic, S-E-R-P-H-O-L-I-C. It's a great website, very user-friendly. Check it out.
We want to just give a shout and our blessings and condolences to all the people that have lost their life recently to these terrible tornadoes that are striking the middle of the country. Right now, as we speak, I believe, you know, that there's tornadoes touching down, and we just want to make that aware, you know, give our condolences. A lot of people just in the past 2 days, you know, so.
And I want to give a special birthday shout out to my sister, my oldest sister. She's turning 36 today. Happy birthday, sis. And why don't we play a couple more songs, and we'll get back to you on the B-side with our next interview.
All right, sounds good.
What's wrong?
Eric Sermon.
keep it going.
Yeah.
This is I want your army.
Yes.
Let's smooth it out. Plug this up in your car.
Yeah.
Your headphones. Just run. I'm a leader, sip your martini. See screw their faces, cause they not me. You got me on my shoulders, cause I outfit be. I order NYC like B-I-G. Sloppy, confident, cocky, cocky. Switch from the top of the key. You want to try to stop me? No carbon copy. So nice, flow to my heartbeat. Get as deep as a shark's deep. Glow bright, I can't light up a dark street. No rapper, beyond an artist. Being real, flows through my arteries. Make it hot, then I have to breathe. One purpose here, forget a lot of cheese. Focus, ain't nobody harming nobody. On the mic, I'm like strong on property.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from.
Got haters everywhere I go now. Jealous, no class, no staff. 1 minute, look at my profile. Milk the game until there's no cows. Let me unbutton my blouse. Leg of shoes now, into my house. Hip hop, never take the rhyme out. Bought it hard, call a timeout. Better listen like my up the nine now. Cocaine, just spit lines out. Could never take my shine now. Look bitter, guan, tech lime out. My prime, can't stop my grind now. Moving forward, yes, my time now. No stunting, it's what I'm about. I just drop the shoes, then I'm out.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from.
Hey yo, fly from the boogie down Bronx to Dub. I'm putting P in the game now. It's time for a sub.
That's why.
The question is, can she compete? With two of them, they came to speak. Their approach is weak. Me, how you hot because of what you did in the street? Impress me on the beat. We ain't gonna repeat. You heard what I said, man. I keep my style underground like a dead man. And you can lay with them or not. How you want it? Get cut or get shot? Because that's what happens when you're playing the toughie. Questions get danced around like puppy. And like him, we ain't gonna stop. Never. On the mic with murder. Mason, better. Anybody stepping to us, Joe Paris got respect from Jamaica since I shot the sheriff.
Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from. Walk like a bad girl, talk like a bad girl. Wanna be somebody, girl? Tell me where you get it from.
All right.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. We're experiencing a little technical difficulties. We're training engineers right now, some new engineers. So just bear with us. I mean, it's a learning process for them, and it's not as easy as you would think it would be to engineer a radio show. Now, our next guest is Jeffrey Vocallo, and he is a relocation expert. So he's going to talk to us a little bit about moving to Australia and the Australian weather, economy, the lifestyle, the employment status and situation.
Tells us about some jobs.
And we'll see what it's like in Australia. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I actually have Adam Waters, who's my partner in GPSA, which is Global Placement Services Australia. And thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, hi, guys. Great to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on with us.
How's it going? Now, guys, tell us a little bit about Australia. What does Australia have to offer that America doesn't?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I'll take the lead on that one, and then I'll let Adam patch in because, you know, I'm actually an expat American from New Jersey. I've been over here for 2 years, and I came over here with the, you know, perception of Australia, of the kangaroos and the koala bears and all that, and shrimp on the Barbie. But I'll tell you, Australia is a fantastic country. It has a lot to offer. The economy is one of the few economies that actually skated around the last recession, and it's absolutely beautiful here. The people are great, and the weather is fantastic. So I can't talk enough about it, and I'll let Adam, who is an Aussie, tell you guys a little bit about it also.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I actually lived overseas for 8 years, and I've been to America. It's great to be back home in Australia now on the Gold Coast. The weather's really nice, pretty much year-round, very temperate climate, and a lot of opportunities for, Americans to come out here because of all the projects and jobs on offer because of the mining and resource boom.
Hmm. Now, are you guys originally from Australia, or are you originally from the States?
I'm actually from New Jersey, but Adam is a true blue Aussie, born here, born in Sydney, and now we both live, I say luckily, on the Gold Coast in the East Coast of Australia.
Okay, and now whose idea was it to actually start the company for people to want to relocate to Australia?
Well, I was actually lucky enough. I'm from New Jersey, ran my own business there for 15 years, sold my business to an international company, and was offered a position out here. So I reluctantly said yes to that decision, but as it turned out, it was the best decision I've ever made. I came out here, worked 2 years for them, and just have seen Australia booming and at the same time America deteriorating. And there's so many opportunities, there's so many jobs out here. So actually my idea, and then I've gotten Adam aboard, and Adam's been really the I'm the push, and Adam's, I would consider Adam the brains of the operation.
Okay. And do you, so is your services a little more than just the relocating? Do you help people with, other things as far as maybe job placement and just other services that one would need when not just moving, to another state in most cases, but to another country? Or would that be something?
I really appreciate that question because that's what really is the difference, the point of difference between our company and some other relocation or placement companies. We actually take our clients that are interested in coming out here. We actually find them employment. and we kind of hold their hand all the way from, because you're right, it is a big move, from moving from the United States down to Australia. So we get them through the relocation, we get them through the immigration and the visas, we find them employment, and we hold their hand the whole way. We make sure that they're situated over here, they're comfortable. Because, you know, there is a, even though it's an English-speaking country, there is a culture difference in it. You know, I didn't have that opportunity. I came over here kind of blind and really didn't have that big brother watching me. So I made probably every mistake in the book, and we don't want our clients to make those mistakes. So we take them from A to Z all the way through the entire process.
That's good to know.
Now, as far as the transition that an American would make to moving to Australia, what would he find, he or she find, is similar in Australia to America?
Well, there are similarities. I mean, we, you know, I would say we all come really originally from a, from that British background, so we're all, you know, it's English speaking. So the similarities are just the people, this is kind of, I make a reference to Australia when people ask me about it. It's kind of, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and really that's what it's like coming here. It's like going back in time 40, 50 years. It's more of a laid-back society, how America really used to be. America now is a very fast-paced society. It's kind of more laid-back here, which I like that. It's not, it's kind of, the stress level isn't as high as it is in the States, so I like that. So if you take America, go back 50 years and land here, that's about where you're at. You know, the major differences here are, you know, the banking is a more conservative banking institution, which America used to be, and my main difficulty coming over here was driving on the left-hand side of the road, so that's something that you got to get over.
I'm just curious, as far as, like, for instance, like, just to say standard of living, maybe what it would cost to rent an apartment versus perhaps some type of property, and how does the property situation work? Would you be able to give us some insight on that?
Sure. That was one of the first mistakes I made coming over here. You know, and that's one thing that a lot of companies are you know, that actually sponsor people, or American companies that send people over from America to work in our international operations, they don't really give them the knowledge or the foresight of working overseas. So to get housing over here, that was a mistake that I did. We rented a house via the internet, and of course, you know, we all know what Photoshop can do to pictures, so our house looked fantastic when we got over here. And it was a little run down, but you know, one of the differences is when we got over here, when you rent a property, usually in the United States it comes with all the appliances, the washer, dryer in most cases, refrigerator, sometimes microwave. And here you get absolutely nothing. It's a bare bone shell.
Wow.
With no appliances at all. So that was a big difference. But okay. I would say that the rents are really comparative to like New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania type rentals. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just want to say, like, there's a difference between Pennsylvania, for instance, and New York, you know, depending on what areas you're talking, but, you know, just to say, because, you know, most, I guess, you know, there's a difference between upstate and the city as well, but is the currency of some type of, you know, are we in the same similarity perhaps as well, or is, you know, is there a difference?
Yeah, well, we're the USD, and then Australia has their own currency now, which it came into effect in 1982, and it's the AUD. And Australia's economy is so strong now.
Okay.
Right now, it's $1.07 AUD buys $1 USD.
Okay, so it's
Australian
up a little
economy,
bit.
Yeah, it is. It's just absolutely, their economy is booming.
Yeah.
What are some of the main occupations right now that that you know coming from America or another country that somebody might want to look into coming to Australia?
Well, right now, and basically, the country of Australia is sort of like how America was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's a really strong labor-based country. A lot of the trades right now that are in demand in Australia, and we actually have some of those listed on the web on our website, is all the trades. Any trade that has to do with mining is in big demand out here. Engineers are in big demand. Any type of tradesmen, electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters, carpenters are in huge demand out here. So, you know, it's a really strong labor country.
Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Jeffrey Vaccolo. You can find him at www.gpsa-america.com. Now, Jeffrey, tell us, for Americans that you're seeing moving to Australia, are most of them employed and looking for a change, or are most of them unemployed and looking for work? Or why are most people moving to Australia?
You know, I think it's kind of 50-50 right now. So we are getting a lot of people that are, of course, unemployed and just can't find work that are looking to make the move and come over here to Australia. And then there's a lot of tradesmen that we've been dealing with that are just set up. It's that lack of security. With the jobs that they have, you know, they're sitting working with companies that they're seeing a lot of people getting laid off, companies that just can't secure contracts. So they don't feel in turn secure anymore, and they're kind of living in limbo where, you know, they can't go out and upgrade. They can't buy that house that they've always wanted. Yeah. They're scared to go out and purchase a new vehicle. So it's kind of 50-50.
Now, Jeffrey, how does the process work? If I'm an American and I want to move to Australia, how do I go about that? I contact you and then walk me through the steps.
All right, I will. I'm going to let Adam take that one because Adam is the mastermind as far as putting the website together and putting all the process together. So, Adam, I'm going to let you take that.
Adam, yeah, sorry, thanks, I almost Jeff. Forgot you. We almost forgot you were there.
That's all right, mate. All right. No worries, mate. Yeah, basically what happens is if someone is interested and they go to our website, the first thing is we have a 60-page free report. It's a PDF report that you can download for free, and it gives you a really good lot of information about Australia, all the facts and figures, which jobs are in demand, etc. And if someone is interested after reading the report, then we have a special service called the VIP Fast Track service, which basically people, and especially during the month of March, people can upload their resume or their CV and fill in their contact details. And if they're a match, and if Jeff has... with his contacts can find them a match or, you know, possibly job interviews, Jeff will then give them a call back based upon their skills and background that they uploaded in their resume on our website.
Okay. Now, how much are your services? What do you charge?
Is it a varying?
Yeah, right now it's actually we were charging a fee to upload the resume, and it was really just a small administration fee. We decided to do away with that fee because we are, you know, right now. Look, I mean, we're just trying to. We know the workers. A lot of the workers are unemployed, and they, you know, some of them are struggling to even pay that $49 fee. So we're not charging them anything up front to go ahead and upload the resumes. We want them aboard. I really want to. I mean, this is kind of a mission for me because, look, here you have America, and you know, it was the land of opportunity. It's the country that I love. I still love America. But I really want to help people, you know, give them new opportunities and try to find them work over here. So we did away with a fee. To get on board, to upload your resume right now for the month of March, we're not charging anybody a nickel. So please, if you know anybody who's really looking for work, I mean, it's the time to get on board.
It's good to know.
Now, Jeff, if you don't mind me asking, how did you two meet?
Oh, no, not at all. It was kind of funny because I have, you know, a lot of contacts over here in Australia. I'm involved with a lot of organizations, the Chamber of Commerce and a lot of associations and some expat associations. And I had this idea for a while, and a colleague of mine actually said, hey, you know what? Well, you got a fantastic idea, you know, because you have this labor force sitting in America, and, you know, really, it's kind of, you have the supply, you have the demand, it's a great match. I know a guy that is just an absolute marketing wizard and business development and internet wizard. You guys should really meet and try to put this thing together. So I was introduced to Adam by a colleague of ours, and when I met Madam, it was a perfect match. Adam is as passionate about the company as I am. So, yeah, it's going very, very well, and I'm lucky to have Adam aboard with me. And Adam is actually a partner of GPSA.
Now, once again, we're speaking with Jeffrey Vocolo from GPSA-America.com, www.GPSA-America.com. Jeffrey, can you just give your final parting shots and your contact information one more time?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you very much. Anybody out there who's, you know, they don't feel their job secure, or, you know, you're looking for employment or really struggling, or you're looking for new opportunities, please get on our website. It's www.gpa-america.com. Get on, take a look at the site. We have a great forum on there. There is a free report that Adam mentioned. It's a fantastic website. We're also linked into Twitter, Facebook, and also LinkedIn. So get aboard, upload your CV, and I will absolutely call you back personally, schedule an interview with you, and hey, let's get you over here. And it's an incredible country. It's a decision that I've never regretted, and I guarantee you won't either.
I've always wanted to take a trip there just to go see the Great Barrier Reef.
Well, you better look me up.
Yeah.
You better look me up if you come down here then.
You already know. Now, I'm saying, it's funny, I get food, you know, from these vendors every day. And one of the main spots I go to is a guy that, you know, he cooks from Thailand. And recently we've just been talking, and he's going, you know, my cousin has he runs one of the main hotels in Bangkok, and I get you, you know, all the good, you know, rooms. And I'm like, wow, it's funny how you connect, though, you know. But definitely, you know, being able to have this type of show and stuff gives me the ability to make connects that I otherwise wouldn't have had the availability. Adam, Jeffrey, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
A lot of good information in. You know, we'll definitely stay in touch, and, you know, make sure, even if after the broadcast, you know, in the following days, if we get any callers, we want to make sure to guide them in the right direction and get in contact with you. Thank you, guys.
That's great. Definitely stay in touch. Thank you very much for having us.
No problem.
Thank you. Thanks for
having me. Good night.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeff Vocolo. If you want to move to Australia, give him a call.
That's it.
Send him an email. I mean, he'll take care of you.
You wouldn't imagine. Or not that you wouldn't imagine. I take that back. Because like I said, I've been wanting to go there for, you know, a long time. And it's funny because we kept calling it a country. But I know actually it's a continent. And it's funny because I don't know how you really present it. I mean, when you're saying it. But at any rate, it's hard to think about moving sometimes just to another state, let alone another country. You know, that's very, very big move.
Yeah, it's a very big move.
It is for people that are looking for a change, and because of the way the economy is, unfortunately, I think people are ready to make the type of movements they wouldn't ordinarily have been willing to make a year or two ago.
And I mean, it's in a English speaking continent.
That makes it a lot better.
Makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and transitions, you know.
that actually brings us to our next guest that we're going to get into right after this next song. So just stay with us, stay tuned, and we'll be back after this next song.
All right.
DJ Ill Will.
She and I on a planet all by ourselves. Drive around celebrating on our new wealth. And we ain't trying to rub it into those who need help. But we've been swimming through the sharks like Michael Phelps. Navigating through this life, no help from Yelp. Trying to make that pool hall music the kind that's felt. I got quotas to reach, expectations to fill. All the while working on myself, Dr. Phil. So chill, let's try and own this moment. The kind you couldn't duplicate, even if we cloned it. The kind you couldn't sell short, even if we loaned it. Trying to take the high road with my opponents, but man, they always push me to my max limit. Say what you want in rap, but please put facts in it. I'm putting more than 33%, more than tax in it. I care about this rap and what happens with it. So much my girl gets jealous of it, but she was raised right, never calls a scene in public. That alone makes me ride for, never put a thing above it, no higher floor.
Always knew that I get here,
that I get here, here, yeah.
Always knew that I get here,
that I get here, and I'm finally right now, huh? I'm right now, yeah, I'm right now, huh? I'm right now, yeah, we right now, huh? We right now, yeah, we right now, huh? I'm right now,
and I ain't sweating what the past or the future might bring. I'm cruising through my city feeling like a young king. My queen by my side with $1 million smile. First time in my life feeling money ain't a thing. I ain't sweating what the past or the future might bring. I'm cruising through my city feeling like a young king. My queen by my side with $1 million smile. First time in our life feeling money ain't a thing. Right now,
I tell my little cousin, life's a challenge. They push you down, get up and smile. Don't ever let them see you frown. I don't care if you have to fight the whole fucking town. Welcome to the Terror Dome, what nostalgia. Shout out to my oldest brother, never forget about ya. I know we got competition, I just pray for ya. The inner peace is what you're not missing. To my middle brother, man, I hope you're listening. I'm so glad that we overcame our differences. I was probably too sensitive and a show off little exhibitionist.
Always knew that I get here,
that I get here, here, yeah.
Always knew that I get here,
that I get here, and I'm finally right now, huh? I'm right now, yeah, I'm right now, huh? I'm right now, yeah, we right now, huh? We right now, yeah, we right now, huh? I'm right now, and I ain't sweating what the past or the future might bring. I'm cruising through my city feeling like a young king. My queen by my side with $1 million smile. First time in my life feeling money ain't a thing. I ain't sweating what the past or the future might bring. I'm cruising through my city feeling like a young king. My queen by my side with $1 million smile. First time in our life feeling money ain't a thing. Right now, and I'm always racing with time, but rarely winning. Waiting for my right pitch in this ninth inning. Game of life seems like it's never ending. Funny thing about it, we just beginning.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. Once again, today's broadcast is sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. That's www.serpholic.co.uk. They can help you out with all your SEO, search engine optimization. They can help you out with your website design, your internet marketing, Check out our sponsor, Surfolic Media, at www.surfolic.co.uk. Now, our next guest is Pete Tribuco. And Pete is a author of America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks, and he is a travel expert.
Let's see if you got his name right this time. If you're 3 for 3.
See if I'm 3 for 3.
Yeah, he had a tough last name.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see how it is. Pete, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, Pete, the million-dollar question. Did I pronounce your last name correct?
Yes, you did. Tribuco, that's correct.
Oh, wow. This guy's good.
That's the trifecta. I'm 3 for 3 today.
How's it going, Pete?
Oh, it's going pretty good, pretty good. I'm in Pittsburgh right now, and it's raining.
Pete, I'm just going to be the first to tell you that I'm a roller coaster fanatic. I mean, I will go to the amusement park sometimes and just purchase a flash pass, like at the Great Adventures that we have in our areas. And, you know, just the last 2 or 3 hours of the night, I'll ride them nonstop. So,
well, they're great. They're actually great to ride. And, you know, you never get too old to ride roller coasters.
Now, Pete, in today's climate, economic climate, how does being a travel expert, how is it affecting you?
Well, basically, you know, people are still going to go to amusement parks, even though the economy might not be the greatest in the world. They're still going to be going because, obviously, you want to forget about your troubles and your problems.
That's right.
And, so, you know, people are going to be going, and I'm still going to be reporting on it, and really not much has changed.
No, you're not lying, especially, too, the kids are going to dominate the motivation sometimes as well because, you know, especially in the summertime, which is the predominant time that you're going to enjoy these type of parks, the kids are going to push you and, you know, pull your leg. So I know mine are, you know, I got a 10 and a 6-year-old, so, Daddy, I want to go to Great Adventure Riverside, you know, so I have to agree.
Now, Pete, do you think the federal government will bail out the airline industry?
Seeing I don't think so. You know, basically on a different topic, I really don't think so because the airline industry is a whole different ball game than let's say what goes on with the auto industry. In the auto industry, you only have 2 or 3 major players. Whereas when you go and do something with the airlines, you've got at least a couple dozen different types of you know, companies and corporations. So basically what happens is you've got some issues with who you bail out and who you don't bail out. So in that particular case, I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, do you think since they will not be bailed out that will lead to an increase in airline rates?
Could you repeat the question? I'm actually walking. It's actually really windy. I'm trying to get to a location where it's a little bit less windy. So if you could repeat the question, that would be great.
Okay, yes, no problem. And it sounds like the wind is really gushing out there in Pittsburgh. So, Jeff,
You would think I was in Chicago, you know, the windy city and everything. But
I was saying to myself, what is that that I hear?
Well, it should be okay now. If you can ask that question again, I think we'll be fine.
Okay, yes. I was asking you about the, you don't think that the airlines will be bailed out and with that situation. Let's say, for instance, the airlines don't get bailed out. Do you see an increase in airline rates because of that?
Well, you know, the way it works basically like this, the airlines are always having difficulty now. They've had difficulty since way back in the 70s when deregulation occurred. And when that did, basically, it became a capitalistic type of a company organization. And, you know, the cheaper is always better. And unfortunately, when you're talking about aviation, being a pilot myself and knowing the industry, you know that you really can't cut corners and you really can't offer routes all over the place, especially if you don't have passengers going to places that are off the beaten trail. And unfortunately, the airlines did that. And when they did that, you had fuel costs to it, and you had all the different taxing and programs that go on. And you have a real issue. You have a real situation that you really can't overcome. And that's one of the reasons why the airlines are in this predicament. And unfortunately, since they're in a predicament like that, we are too, because they, you know, basically try to, you know, get you for baggage. I mean, $5.2 billion with a B, billion dollars, is actually collected by these airlines pretty much yearly. So, you know, you just got to grin and bear it and hope that the prices don't go up and that the fuel costs don't go up that much.
Now, what airlines are hurting the most?
Well, I don't tend to really want to talk about, you know, the negatives in airlines, but we all know what happened to American Airlines, you know, not too long ago, where they went, you know, they had a file, which unfortunately was an issue. You know, right now, I think the strongest airlines are probably Continental and United when they actually merged. And of course, I always liked Southwest Airlines because even though they're a smaller airline, they do extremely well. And they, you know, they catered to places and airports that a lot of the big ones, the, you know, the big carriers don't go to. So, you know, it depends on where you're going and who you're talking with. But I think overall, there are a lot of good airlines out there. And even though they're all pretty much, you know, trying to figure out how to get through, you know, and try to make a profit, it's a tough deal.
A lot of these airlines, the planes and their fleets that they have are rather old as well. It's scary sometimes when you think about, you know, that you're riding on a 30-year-old aircraft. And
I'm sorry. Well, see, that's the thing, basically, and that's why the airlines are, you know, are always constantly having these issues, is because after a while, you know, kind of like your car, you got to replace your car. Yeah. And unfortunately, when you've got a fleet of 150 to 200 aircraft or more sometimes, you've got to replace them. And that means you've got to buy new ones. And if you buy new ones, the old ones get sold, but they get sold kind of like a used car. They get sold for a lot less. And unfortunately, those airlines are constantly trying to upgrade these airplanes or upgrade the airplanes in their fleet. And that also taxes them, too, to the max.
Definitely.
So, Pete, tell our listeners, how can people save money when they travel with this economy?
Well, you know, the best way to save money when you're traveling is, you know, obviously look for the deals. You know, go on the search engines like Orbitz and Expedia and so on down the line. The good thing about the airlines is that they always have specials going on. They really need to have those specials. And you know, if you're savvy and if you look for the deal, you will most definitely find them. There's a lot of competition out there in the airlines. They just got to, you know, see which ones are the best and go from there.
Pete, just to change the topic briefly, can you briefly describe and talk about your book, America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks, and where people can pick a copy up?
Well, it's called America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks, a guide for those who ride them and especially for those who fear them. And it's a book with regards to the top roller coasters, both wood coasters and steel coasters around the country, as well as Canada. And it also covers, you know, the best amusement parks, including Disney, Universal, of course, Busch Gardens and Cedar Fair locations, SeaWorld as well. And in addition to that, it's got a section on how to overcome your fear. So if you're one of three Americans that goes to a park, and a lot of them don't like roller coasters, but they go because the family does, this might be a good book for you to overcome that fear.
Now, in your personal opinion, what do you think can be done to save the airline industry?
That's the age-old question. That's a question that basically they've been asking since deregulation in the 70s. You know, some say that there are too many airlines out there, and then you've got to basically, you know, merge a lot of them together so that they can make a little bit more money. Others would say that you have to limit where they fly, because if they're flying to places where they're not making profits, they should stop those routes and stick to the major ones. Others say that, you know, that the airline industry, even though it's expensive, if you go back to 1963 and you look at an American airline rate card, yes, believe it or not, they had rate cards back then. From New York to Los Angeles cost $280. Well, believe it or not, nowadays, 50 some odd years later, you can actually find a fare from New York to LA for about $280. So even though prices are high and we're struggling, it's still a lot better than it was in 1963.
Now, for airlines that are losing money and just breaking even and not making a profit, what cutbacks could a traveler see due to those losses?
Well, the cutbacks are going to be on routes, you know, that are not traveled very well, or they're going to be merging with other airlines, and that happens a lot where they either go out of business, they Chapter 11, or they merge. You know, obviously the big ones that we remember well are TWA and Pan Am. You know, those airlines, were like the first major airline carriers in the country, and eventually they went south and they merged, and unfortunately that merger didn't work, and a lot of things happened in the industry. So I would say that, it's a very difficult industry. And it's one that you just don't know when the next penny's going to drop, what's going to happen. But as a consumer, as a person who flies, it's actually good to see what happens, because you got to know, where the deals are. And a lot of times with this market, the airlines are hurting enough that they are going to be, basically lowering the rates. And that's good for us. Unfortunately, it's not good for the airlines at all. And that makes their job more difficult.
Do you think that there's anything that our airlines can learn from some international airlines, for instance? I see these commercials all the time, just for example, from I believe it's Korean airlines, and just how they show the lofty seats and the cuisine that's given as a meal. Obviously, I know it's dramatized, but just to say, it just seems like this very luxurious airline, and I always say to myself, wow, it seems like a 180 degrees difference from the type of flights that we take. Granted, obviously, I think they're catering to overseas passengers and flights, but just to say, do you think there's any countries that maybe could show us a thing or two, or maybe that their companies operate a little more effectively and efficiently than we do?
Well, remember now, when you go overseas, the competition is nearly not as great as it is here. In the UK, you've got some airlines there. Of course, British Airways is obviously the biggest, and they're a monopoly. And again, they can do things because of their size that the smaller carriers can't do. Here in the United States, we've got some pretty big ones, but overall, when it comes to traveling overseas or internationally, there's a lot that we can learn. Believe it or not, the 4911 Air Airlines in Israel already had the idea of actually locking the cockpit doors where you couldn't possibly get in.
Yeah.
And they had all that in place prior to 911. We learned the hard way here in the United States. So, there are a lot of things that you can learn from them. But remember, the competition there is not as critical as this. It's not 30, 40 carriers competing for the same amount of passengers. You've got, like for Korean Airlines or Korean Airways, for example, they're pretty much a solo operation. So it's a lot easier if you can do that.
You would think, though, that just because there's so much competition, that somebody would try to jump out ahead of everybody and, just come out with some extra perk and extra amenity that would, make them stand apart, perhaps, just to say, because you make a good point that we do have a lot of competition.
Remember what happens when you do that. If you do that, your competition's going to do that. If you come up with a great idea, the others are going to be doing it. I remember one. JetBlue used to have those airplanes, and they still do, have the televisions right in the back of the chairs. Well, guess what? Everybody and his uncle is now having that because it was an innovation. It was something new. It was something different. And so you have to remember that again. I'm sorry.
That was good for the industry, though. So, it just seems like a lot of nowadays, a lot of the negatives are followed by each company. Oh, we're going to charge you $25 for more extra carry-on luggage. Now, everybody files that. So, just like you mentioned with the TVs, that was a pro of something that was offered, and everybody followed suit. And maybe if more companies went that route of promoting positive you know, adaptations to the industry, then, you know, it would follow suit throughout the industry as well.
Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Pete Trabuco. Pete, can you just give your final parting shots and final contact information?
Well, thanks for having me on. First of all, I always appreciate going on your show. I do have the book, America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks. I do travel a lot, so I'm in and out of airports all the time. And we're actually promoting a new show called Thrill Ride Maniac. It's a reality show that hopefully will be pitched in the spring and summer. And that basically has me going up with some crazy people in airplanes and, you know, go-karts, the fastest 50-mile-an-hour go-karts you'll ever find, you know, riding roller coasters or thrill rides around the country. So we're really looking forward to that. And, you know, the book is still available for America's Top Roller Coasters at Amazon and all over, you know, anywhere you can find the book on online and in the bookstores, as well as at Tate Publishing, which is where I got the book published.
Well, Pete, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We wish you all the best and have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, very thank you so much. You have a good night, too.
All right. Take care. That's definitely some good information that we got there about how the airlines are working and, you know, just the way of the industry.
So we brought you, ladies and gentlemen, a relocation expert that can travel you to Australia if you're looking to move out there. And if you're looking for airline information on how to get there, you can talk to our last guest that we just had, Pete Trabuco.
No, that wasn't Pete. That was a... Oh, LP, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Jeffrey, who's actually in Australia, and who I will be keeping in contact with, because now I'm definitely setting a date to make it out there. There's nothing better, folks, than traveling to another country, and you already have some type of connections out there. I'm just going to say, you know, I've probably been to about 4 different continents myself. I've been... just blessed enough to be able to travel, and that's sort of been my pastime. But, you know, I've made connections and I've gone to places multiple times, and there's nothing better than having that connection to get around a lot smoother, you know, a lot more efficiently, and to save some money most of all, because it'll show you how to, you know, go about things without paying the tourist rate.
Yes, today's broadcast is sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. That's www.surfolic.co.uk. Now, our next guest is Stuart Venner. He is a national real estate and mortgage expert, and he's the president of the Wilshire Holding Group. Stuart, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hello?
Yes, we're with you. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great. It's good to be on your show tonight.
Okay.
Now, Stuart, talk to us a little bit about the foreclosure crisis in the country. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What's going on?
Well, it's not getting better. I mean, we're looking, I think, realistically at about another 4 to 5 years before things will turn around. I mean, the demand does not come close to the supply that's out there. And until the demand equals or surpasses the supply, the housing market can't recover. And it can't recover until people have real jobs and confidence to get out there and buy houses. Unfortunately, we're probably $700 billion to over $1 trillion upside down on mortgages, so it's going to take a little time. It can't happen overnight. I wish there was some magic bullet, but there isn't.
Now, what presidential candidate do you think offers the best solution to this problem?
Well, everything, frankly, that Obama has done has been a disaster. I mean, there's no government fix for this. Santorum is not realistic or very naive in his approach. He thinks that a tax, people that lose their homes should be able to take a tax write-off, but the people that lose their homes don't pay any taxes anyway. I mean, that's not going to accomplish anything. Now, Romney and Gingrich, and Gingrich even a little more fervently, have the right ideas, really, to get government regulation out. Get rid of Dodd-Frank, which is a tremendous burden on the mortgage and on the lending industry. And get rid of these over-regulation, the Community Investment Act, all of these things have done nothing but create the problem we have and make it worse. The private sector will correct it over time, but it's going to take a few years.
Now, Ron Paul, his solution in Santorum's, they sound very similar. Are there any differences in those?
No, they're both about the same, but they're very naive and unrealistic. It's not going to do anything to help anybody. Romney and Gingrich do have at least the right idea to go into the right direction. I mean, there are things that should be done that I've seen no one talk about that I think would make a lot of sense, where you should, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac should let people get back into the mortgage business if they've had a foreclosure after a year and they reestablished credit and, you know, shown themselves to be, have the ability to buy and to qualify for a mortgage. They should be able to get back into the market. That would bring millions of people back buying homes.
That's something you think should be put into place, you said?
I think it would be a great idea. Yeah. I've heard no one mention it, but except me.
Well, what do you?
It would help.
Where do you think that this problem originated from? I'm just curious. You know, ultimately.
Well, it originated from just a combination of greed and fraud on every possible level, where you had people that had no possible way of making more of being able to pay their mortgages. Going there and buying way more than they could qualify for without having to qualify for anything, just signing their name on a piece of paper.
And, like stated income.
With the hope that they would flip the house, and it went on for a number of years, but it's like a big Ponzi scheme. Eventually, they're going to run out of people and run out of houses.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, and I ask you that because I hear a lot of times... I hear a lot of times how, you know, they say once, for instance, President Bush had put into effect zero down policy, that's when things really started to fall. And, you know, just, and I guess when some of the other regulations got relaxed on some of these firms in Wall Street, I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, what you had is you had, you can go back way far. I mean, you can go back to the savings and loan collapse. And then they deregulated the savings and loan industry, which was the primary source of mortgage money. Mm-hmm. And by deregulating it, the savings and loans went into construction, into commercial properties, and into commercial banking, and everything that they weren't chartered to do. And they ended up collapsing and costing the taxpayers something like, I think, $150 billion. Mm. Now we're looking at trillions. And then the banking industry did the same thing. I think it was Citibank, when they bought Travelers Insurance, they became Citigroup. And banks don't make loans. Banks sell paper on Wall Street. Banks service loans, mortgage companies service loans, but all of these loans are packaged and sold as mortgage-backed securities. And they were buying and insuring everything, and they were calling garbage loans A-paper loans. And this is hurting every aspect of the economy, from our pension funds to mutual funds to the people sitting out there underwater in homes. And the problem is so many good people are underwater that put their hard-earned cash into it. Senior citizens that were counting on selling these homes for their nest egg, and now they're worth half of what it is. And now they have to go out and get jobs.
So Stuart, in your opinion, what will be the best solution for this problem?
Well, the best solution, number one, is I think Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac must be reinvented, reorganized, without government guarantees, because that's put way too much burden on the taxpayer. They're two industries that are, profits are privatized and losses are socialized. I wish I could do that with my business. But, you know, that needs to be, you need the private sector in, you need less government regulation, and you take away Dodd-Frank, you take away community reinvestment, you take away all of these regulations which are burdening and hurting the mortgages origination and mortgage servicing, and you find that the private sector will correct it and it will come back. But you're not going to be flipping. I mean, right now it's a great time for anyone who can to go out there and buy a home. Terrible time to sell, but if you can buy, I say go out and buy. but buy 10 years in the future. If it's a home you're going to live in or an investment, it's not a quick turnover. It's not going to be a flip. Look to 10 years down the road. I don't think you'll have to look that long, but if you look 10 years down the road, you're going to be fine.
Now, once again, we're speaking with Stuart Venner. He's the president of the Wilshire Holding Group. Now, what exactly does the Wilshire Holding Group do?
Well, what we do, we've been doing this for almost 18 years. We help people get out of over-encumbered real estate if they find that it doesn't make any business sense to keep the property. If you're terribly underwater and it doesn't make sense to keep it, we have a way to get out with the least damage on your credit and without having to pay income tax and what the lender loses. So it's a good exit strategy. I mean, by all means, if you can afford your mortgage and if you can pay your mortgage, God bless you, pay it. But if you need a way out, we have a way to help them get out, minimizing any problems.
So a business like that, that field, that would thrive in an economy like today's, correct?
We are busy. Unfortunately, I'd rather be doing loans for people buying homes. Yeah. But you do what you have to do.
To adapt, and you know, at the end of the day, it is helping out a person, you know, that could otherwise just straight up face foreclosure as well as lose their house, and you know, it's just one big sticky mess.
That's what we call it, a fresh start. I mean, it's a way to get a second chance, and I think we've helped a lot of people. I feel good about that.
Absolutely, that's good, man. Absolutely.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Stuart Venner. Stuart, can you just give out your final parting shots and your contact information once again?
Yes, our contact information is realtycrisis.com. And if you get a Japanese rock and roll band, you spelled reality. It's realtycrisis.com or 877-94-HELP-ME. And in parting, I'd like to say that, you know, everything always will get better. And, you know, don't get too depressed. It will get better. But if you can buy, by all means, don't try to be the lowest bottom feeder. Get out there and buy. You can still get an FHA loan with as little as 3.5% down. Interest rates are historically low, and it's a great opportunity, for especially for a first-time home buyer, to get into the market.
Sure. All type of other great rates and programs that they have for first-time buyers as well.
There are, and it's a good chance to get your first American dream, because a few years ago you would have paid twice as much and it would have been almost an impossibility.
Now, once again, this is Stuart Venner. You can find him at realtycrisis.com. Stuart, we just want to thank you for coming on to the show. We appreciate it, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you. It was a great show, and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you for participating. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Once again, that is a national mortgage expert and real estate expert, Stuart Venner.
Helping people out.
You can find him at realtycrisis.com. So pretty much, listeners, ladies and gentlemen, if you're behind on your mortgage, if you're going into foreclosure, if you're looking to get rid of some properties, you need to contact Stuart Venner at realtycrisis.com. Once again, today's broadcast was sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. That is www.surfolic.co.uk. They can help you with all your internet marketing needs, your SEO, search engine optimization. They can promote your business the right way.
I just always love the diversity of the guests, the information that we get. You know, it jumps around. You know, we're talking about airplanes and we're talking about foreclosures. You know,
it's funny that you mentioned that you used the word diversity, because our final guest of the night, if I'm not mistaken, I think is calling in from India.
Wow.
I could be wrong though, folks. We'll find out in a matter of seconds.
Okay.
Now, our final guest is Sunita Bidu, and she is from our sponsored company. Our sponsor, once again, is Surfolic Media. You can find them at their website at www.surfolic.co.uk. That is www.surfolic.co.uk. Sunita, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Now, are you calling in from India?
Yes, yes. I'm calling in from India only.
Wow. Now, this is we have a global reach with our show. We've had a call from
Canada.
We just had Canada. We just had Australia. Tonight,
we've had a caller from Canada. Actually, our first show, our very first caller of our actual show was from Canada. Maybe about two callers ago, we've had a gentleman from Australia, and now we have a woman from India. This is very very nice. So tell us a little bit about Surfolic Media.
Well, Surfolic Media, actually, we started with an aim to provide search engine optimization services. But then we targeted the website design services because it was equally important in marketing. Until and unless you don't have an appealing and unique website design, I didn't think that traffic could actually be convinced. So now we are targeting SEO, internet marketing, and web design, like at the same portal.
Now, how can search engine optimization help a small business? And what could a person do to begin those steps?
Okay. Well, this is one of the most frequently asked questions, actually. The thing is, 63% of consumers, they search for local vendors, though international SEO is equally important. But for small businesses, local SEO is very, very important because in any ways, you would like to find the closest vendor around you and for the reliable service. And you can be found only if you are on page one of Google, or it is Yahoo Local, or it is a Bing. And I would like to tell you that only 5% of people actually search beyond page one. Of course, it's very important to be on page one. And like you asked me, the steps to go for SEO, the local SEO, The very first step is actually Google Places. Like if you search for such local vendor, it can be dentist, it can be plumber, it can be electrician. You find some Google Places, right? Some places listing. The very first step should be claiming your profile, the Google Places profile. The Places profile would ask you some phone call verification, the address verification. Of course, you need to have the right website address and the right phone number so people can reach you. Then second step should be uploading the business pictures. Of course, people would like to know your business better, and pictures help them the right way.
Absolutely.
Another step can be getting reviews. People would like to have your credentials. They would like to have what other businesses have used you, and what other people are thinking about you. If you have got the reviews, if you have got the testimonials about your services, actually you are more reliable. There are many steps, actually. If you would like to know more, I'm here to help you. I mean, okay. I'm happy to help you with more steps and like about local SEO and the general SEO.
No problem. That's good to know. Could you please tell us today in this today when there's such a huge hype of social media, what's the future of a SEO? Excuse me.
Okay. See, SEO is a process that takes time, and at the same time, social media is something instant. When you go for Facebook, when you go for Twitter, that is instant. You talk to people at the same time. So it means you are increasing your reputation, you are increasing your popularity day by day. SEO is something that takes time. It takes 5 to 6 months to come on page one. But in social media like Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, you are branding, you are keeping your brand visibility higher and popular day by day. So this is actually, social media is a way to talk to people directly and Twitter.
So it's basically you need to be doing...
There is more to SEO. Yeah, tell me.
No, I was going to say you need to be having both of these factors going on at the same time.
Definitely.
Right? I got you. How to pick up the right SEO company for your business promotions? How would you go about that?
Oh, well, like, I mean, to understand good, first of all, you need to know the bad part, actually. Now, yeah. When there are thousands and thousands of SEO vendors, you would actually have lots and lots of SEO experts, I would say so-called SEO experts. So if you are going to market your website, you must have the reliable SEO people. Well, the reliable SEO would actually like to analyze your website first. It is not something like you would ask for the marketing and they will start marketing right away. No, they won't do that way. They would like to go for your website analysis first. They will tell you some recommendation where your site needs some tweaking, some corrections, or where you can do better. When they are convinced, when you are convinced, when they are convinced, only then they would like to step ahead with marketing, actually. Second, like, I mean, you can ask for references. A good and a genuine SEO marketer, they would not hesitate to share the references. They would like to talk about the client. So you can definitely talk to the client how they have been performing in the past. And this will help you whether the right SEO company is there for you or not. You can talk about their history, how they have been performing in the past, and what results have they have been giving to the customer base. And last but not the least, the website would have the case studies that would help you make the faster and the right decision. So the case studies would help you how they are going to help you with your business and whether they are reliable or not. Budget, of course, is the first and foremost concern. So you can definitely negotiate in that. But it doesn't mean that low cost will be a better SEO. You should definitely look at both parts. Whether it is low cost will not always be a good SEO. I would just like to say one thing. Cheap, good, and fast. They cannot come together. You can get only two. If you're going to get fast, cheap, it means not a good deal. So
that's a
good
terrible
things
mix.
Will always come for some price, you know?
It's just a terrible mix right there. If we compared direct advertising methods like banners, etc., and SEO, which one is more important and effective, would you say?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question. Sorry.
We just wanted to know, and our listeners, if you compare direct advertising methods like banners and etc., and if you compare that with SEO, which one is more important and which one is more effective?
Well, it depends upon business, actually. It depends upon business. As I told you already, SEO is a time-taking process. It takes 5 to 6 months' time. Whereas banner advertising, it is something instant. For example, if we talk about BBS radio only, there are certain banners, you get daily traffic. So the businesses who are advertising on certain websites, they are getting instant clicks. So banner advertising is very helpful until and unless you are on page one. So it is something that for first initial months, for first 1 to 3 months, you can go for banner advertising. You can go for PPS, PPC as well. You can go for social media. By the time you are closer to page one with SEO, like, they both can be equally helpful. But I would recommend banner advertising for the initial part of your marketing efforts.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Sunita Bidu from Surfolic Media. You can find her at www.surfolic.co.uk. Now, Sunita, walk me through the process let's say I come to you and I want to get your help for our internet presence as far as SEO and all other internet promotions and marketing that you have available. Walk me through those steps. How does that work?
I would say, like, if you're doing your website, I will take some time to read, to study your business, to have your long-term and short-term goals. Then I'll go for a strategy. I'll share the strategy with you. Then you would have certain questions. After the strategy is done, the recommendation is done, I'll go for the on-site optimization. On-site optimization will cover the copy that will convince your visitor. So if there is any need of exchange of the copy, we'll go for the SEO copywriting. And then I'll go for the landing pages, whatever the services, the products you're selling, whether they have got all the details or not. When the visitor will come on your website, whether he will be convinced with the details or not. So if there is something to be changed at that part, we will go ahead with that. This process takes a week or so, and then we go for the, like, the pricing, the schedule, for how long the plan will run, and then, like, after 6 to 7 days or maximum 10 days, the plan begins with the link building, the social media, and the website making.
I'm just curious, Anita, like, as far as being that, you know, you're even calling us internationally, I would imagine, you know, you have some international business. And I wanted to know, how does your strategies and concepts perhaps change from culture to culture and country to country when, you know, when you're trying to format this for a potential client?
When it comes to SEO, actually, strategies doesn't change to a bigger extent. Of course, audience does. Because the audience of, say, Japan, the audience of Japan, the audience of China, and the audience of USA, they have got differences. So we definitely take care of that prospect in website design and link building. But if it comes to SEO, because SEO will target Google.com. Until and unless you are in a local business, something like Google Australia or Google UK. So until and unless that is the case, link building and strategies are almost same. The ultimate aim is to get great backlinks, to get natural backlinks. If you are a website owner, you would actually like to have people link to you naturally. And people will link to you naturally only if they like your website, only if they like what you are offering, and only if they like actually you are offering something very genuine and something very informative. So the strategy doesn't change to a big extent, but audience, like, there's a minor change in the audience. That's it. The main strategy stays the same all the time. You should be good, and people would like to link to the good people only, good websites only. And if you are closest to the relevance, for example, bloggers who are talking about fashion, bloggers who are talking about the latest style, they would like to link to the websites that are selling apparels, that are selling fashion accessories. So, you know, you can get natural backlinks only if you are closest to the niches. So the interest matters.
Now, once again, we are talking to Sunita Biddu. She can help you with all your search engine optimization needs. You can find her and her company, Surfolic Media, at www.surfolic.co.uk. That is www.surfolic.co.uk. Now, Sunita, can you just give out your final parting shots and your contact information for our listeners?
Sure. My name is Sunita Biddu, and I'm from India. I own the website surfolic.co.uk, and we are helping customers. We are helping people with search engine optimizations, internet marketing, and website design. The website design that is actually brandable and that can work. You can reach me at 0044208133-3127.
Okay. Well,
you know, we want to thank you for coming on the show with us tonight. We want to thank you for sponsoring the show with us tonight. And we definitely appreciate it. And we wish you all the best. And I'm going to actually give you a call or a follow-up email, because I'm interested about your services as far as the international SEO
goes. Thank you. I would be glad to. I would be glad to help you, definitely. And it's a pleasure to be with you guys here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Wait. Sunita, are you still with us? I think she just dropped. I wanted to find out what actual time it was in India.
It's 9 o'clock Eastern time, my time. I mean, she's called all the way from India. Hundreds and thousands of miles away, ladies and gentlemen. The show has international reach. We've had a woman from India, a man from Australia. This is all in today's show.
That's what we're here for, folks.
This is the networking. The networking internet Mecca, radio talk show.
The Mecca right here. This is the
Mecca.
Networking, you know.
Today's entrepreneurs radio show.
It's been a good night.
I know we had some technical difficulties. I want to just remind you that we're training in new engineers, so just bear with us. But
it's internet radio, don't worry about
the
it.
The show still went off pretty good. I gotta say, this whole week has been excellent. Definitely. We've had some great guests. Once again, this show today was sponsored by Surfolic Media. You can find them at www.surfolic.co.uk. That is www.surfolic.co.uk.
Thank you for all the support through the Facebook, through the Twitter. You guys, even though, you know, yeah, we're getting a lot of questions and stuff, but feel free to call in. I know it's a little easier just to tap the buttons on the phone, but, you know, people do, the listeners like to hear people's actual questions and hear their voice, so don't be shy.
Call in. You can call in during any interview and speak to a guest or ask a question if you like. The call-in number is 888-429-5471. Once again, that's 888-429-5471. And you can contact us via Skype at BBS Radio 2. That's contact us via Skype at BBS Radio 2.
Go to the site, so you can see ahead of time the guests that we have. So look into those guests beforehand. Have questions and foreknowledge already.
Yes, you can check our profile page out on BBS Radio 2, Station 2, Today's Entrepreneurs, and they'll have a list of guests for the upcoming week. You know, we just want to thank you guys for listening and have a good weekend. All right. And we'll be back on Monday.
It's been real.
Warning, 10,000 writers to become published authors. If your dream is to be an author, Valerie J. Lewis Coleman explains, will save you hours of research, thousands of dollars, and mountains of frustration. Avoid the top 5 mistakes made by new authors. Get industry secrets publishers don't want you to know. This expert problem solver will navigate you through the mysterious labyrinth to make publishing quick, easy, and affordable. ValerieJColeman.com and PenOfTheWriter.com.
Thank you for listening to today's Entrepreneurs Radio Show. I'm your co-host, J.R. Williams, alongside Michael Calloway. We appreciate you tuning in tonight and hope that you enjoyed the show. Until next time, please keep a successful state of mind and keep the creativity brewing.